We welcome each of you to our service today. As you know, we are having commemoration of the Lord's Supper. And so today I just want to take you back to that Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. Let's bow our heads before we start. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can have this chance of looking at your passion, Lord, the time when you spent your last few hours on earth, and we want to see how we can, in a way, follow in your steps and be cleansed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now today we're going to just look at two incidents that happened around the time of the Last Supper. When we look at these incidents, you might think, well, they're quite separate, but I think they both have a connection, and a real connection for us today. So let's turn to Matthew 26. And the first incident we have is the one where Jesus makes known to his disciples that one of them is about to betray him. Let's look at Matthew 26 and we'll look at verse 21. So here we are. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And the response of the disciples was immediate. They said, they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" We are told that Judas was the one who was taken by surprise. And at first, he didn't say anything. Then he realized that he was the only one who had not asked, "Is it I?" So finally, in verse 25, Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, does it seem strange to you that these 11 disciples would have asked the question? You know, if you weren't planning to betray Jesus, would you have said, "Well, is it me?" Why would you ask that? Don't you know your own heart? Don't you know whether you're going to betray him? Why should you ask, "Is it I?" I mean, don't you know? Well, maybe that's not so strange, because we're going to look at the second incident now. And this time we look at the book of Luke in chapter 22. And this is another incident that happened at the Last Supper. And we read from Luke 22, verses 33 and 34. This is happening later in the evening. Peter is having this little talk with Jesus. And it says in verse 33, Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." The confident Peter turned out that he didn't know his own heart. You know, Jesus knew Peter better than he himself did. In fact, we know this because look in John chapter 2 and verse 25. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, John makes this statement. John 2:25. It says that Jesus did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Jesus knows our own hearts better than we do. In fact, we should be like the disciples when they asked, "Is it I?" It's a good thing for us to think about this today, because we need to look at the message that is given to our church in the last days. And I'm talking about the message to the church of Laodicea. Let's look at that for a minute in Revelation 3:17. What is this message saying? Well, I'll start in verse 17, although the message starts in verse 14, because it says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. But you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know, in the age in which we live, there is a so-called knowledge industry where we are told, if you want to succeed in life, we all need to have the right knowledge. We all need to have the right information, skills, contacts. And I think most of you are aware of this. In fact, Daniel the prophet prophesied that knowledge would increase, that men would run to and fro. And of course, this we know refers maybe to worldly knowledge, but it also refers to knowledge of the Bible, prophecies, the opening of the books of Daniel and Revelation. And the message of Laodicea is aimed at the very same state of things in the church, where we are quite a large organized body. You know, we might feel secure, we might think we're in the true church, and yet we may not have that vital connection to God that we should have. Like Peter, it could be that we don't know our own hearts, and we ought to ask ourselves, "Is it I, Lord? Am I in the Laodicean condition? Am I like the Pharisees who felt confident in themselves?" Didn't the Pharisees feel that they were righteous? They were sure of it. Weren't they all keeping all their traditions and rules? Laodicea is very much like the Pharisees. Paul, the apostle, was one who recognized this condition. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. I think most of you are familiar with this chapter. Paul, in this chapter, he's quite introspective. He's looking inwardly. Now, maybe that's not a good thing to do too much, but you should do that sometimes. You should consider what sort of person you actually are. What are you like in the inner man? Romans 7:24. Paul looks at himself and he despairs because of what he sees in himself. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Paul knew that he was wretched, but immediately after that, he claims deliverance through Jesus. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, I think that we need to be like Paul. We need to acknowledge that we are wretched. And not only wretched, but miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Tell me, when God is rebuking the Laodiceans, is He rebuking them because they are wretched and poor and blind and naked? No, He's rebuking them because they don't know that they are. If they know that they are and they admit that they are, then like Paul, the Lord can help them. But if they don't admit it, then He can't do anything for them. Then their condition is hopeless. We're all aware of the unpardonable sin when a person continually rejects the pleading of the Holy Spirit. Who is speaking to these churches? Who is speaking to the church of Laodicea? Revelation 3:22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so it is the Holy Spirit speaking to Laodicea. And the Holy Spirit can speak, but they don't even know that the message applies to them. They think they're all right. So they are continually rejecting the warning. And that means they are committing the unpardonable sin, and God can't do anything for them. Now today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. We are being reminded of the sacrifice of Christ. And it's the Spirit who keeps reminding us of salvation through Jesus. And I believe the Spirit is reminding us today that we need to search our hearts to know if we are close to God. Is there a piece of Laodicea in us, even as we sit here? I'd just like to read an account from the Great Controversy about what goes through the minds of God's people when they're in the last days before Christ's coming. Page 619, Great Controversy. As Satan accuses the people of God on account of their sins, the Lord permits him to try them to the uttermost. Their confidence in God, their faith and firmness will be severely tested. As they review the past, their hopes sink, for in their whole lives they can see little good. They are fully conscious of their weakness and unworthiness. But what is their hope? What is it that they place their faith and trust in? They place their trust in the grace of God, salvation through faith in Jesus. They are not confident because they are perfect, but they are confident because they know they're imperfect, but they know that Jesus' grace covers their sins. But at the same time, they are conscious about how bad sin is. They feel a sort of a despair that they are so sinful. And Satan rubs it in, doesn't he? And so we get this strange situation where if you think that you're bad, you're probably okay. But if you think that you are pretty good, then you're probably in trouble. So today, let's remember that we can easily fall into this trap. The Laodicean message is like a prophecy that applies to us. Let us be very diligent to make certain that we heed the message. Let's be careful to know that if we are blind, are we blind and living in a dream world? Let's plead with the Lord for sight. If we are poor but think we are rich, let's take a reality check. If we are wretched, let's not pretend that we are happy. Let's seek for the true happiness. That is the peace that we get in knowing that if we fully surrender our souls to God, then Jesus pleads His blood on our behalf. And so that's the message as we take part in this communion service today. Let's fully surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.